I want to remind all the women, the conference with Rieta McPherson is going to be a blowout session in God. I just want you to know that. And my wife is calling for a 21-day Daniel fast beginning 9/11. You won't, can't forget that date. And boy, Linda, I liked your analogy. We are all moved by those 3,000 people that lost their life on 9/11. But to think every day in America, 3,000 more children die without even acknowledgement. So start your fast on 9/11 for 21 days, ladies, and let's believe God for a supernatural amen response. And then also, don't forget this Thursday night, this is going to be a healing night, supernatural Wednesday and Thursday. Healing night. I'm going to be preaching on your covenant of healing. And we're going to believe God for a supernatural touch. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 11 that Satan takes advantage of us when we're ignorant of his devices. In other words, when we don't know what he's up to, and we don't know how he operates, he takes advantage of us. But Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in chapter 4 and 13, he said, I would not have you to be ignorant. In other words, the time that you and I are ignorant, the devil takes advantage of us. However, Paul said, you know what? I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to have knowledge. I want you to have information. You know, you and I have a covenant called protection. And we, unless understand it, we'll be taken advantage of by the enemy. Job, you know, was ignorant. Did you know that? Job was ignorant. He was a righteous man, but he was ignorant in this area because the Bible tells us in chapter 1 and verse 9 and 10 that Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job not fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side? You blessed the work of his hands and his possessions and have increased him in the land. He said, didn't you put like a fence? Didn't you put a blockade around Job? See, Job didn't realize that he had a hedge. Job didn't realize that he had a protection, a fence. I want you to know today that you and I have a fence. We have a hedge around us. God has put in place because we walk in covenant with him. Now, this covenant of protection has dual understanding. Number one, it's to shield you from injury, danger, and loss. But the covenant that you and I walk in called protection also guards us, defends us, and preserves us. Now, why is this important to know? Because when you're under attack, it's good to, out of your own mouth to say, Lord, I thank you that you have hedged me about. I thank you that you're my shield and you're the lifter of my head. I thank you, Lord, that today you preserve me and you defend me. I thank you, God, that I don't have to battle myself. See, that's a man and a woman who is not ignorant of the promises of God. And the devil wants to keep us ignorant. And we pray silly religious prayers like, oh Lord, if it be your will, please show your mercy and help this poor boy out. You know, really, that's not the kind of prayer that you and I need to begin issuing out of our mouth. Why? Because God gave us provisions for protection. I'm going to give you two of them. Are you ready to quickly write them down? Number one, the provisions for your protection is, number one, your redemption. Your redemption. You might want to write that down on a piece of paper. My redemption. You see, the new birth not only transformed you. Say that with me. Transformed. So the new birth did what? Transformed. But what else did it do? It translated you. So say with me, I am transformed. Say, I am translated. Most Christians understand that been transformed, but few ever recognize or come into understanding that they've also been what? Translated. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 tells us what it means. It says, he's delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In other words, he has lifted us. I like to put it this way. Supernatural or supernaturally changed from the realm of the terrestrial to the kingdom of the celestial. Most of us as believers are trained by religion to live in the realm of the terrestrial. And we need to know how to live in this life. But we're rarely introduced to the realm of the celestial. Because the Bible tells us we've been translated from one kingdom to another kingdom. Isn't that right? Isn't that what Colossians 1:13 said? So I understand now that the basis for my protection is in my redemption. How many remember the story of Exodus when Israel was coming out of Egypt? Do you remember what happened? God said, I want you to take the blood and I want you to apply it to the doorpost and the lintel of your door. I want you to take the lamb, eat all of it. Do you remember that? And when the death angel came, what happened? It passed over when he saw the blood. Your redemption is powerful when it comes to your aspect of protection. A lot of people will say, well, I just got to plead the blood. That's what they're really talking about. They're talking about the understanding that it's no longer a terrestrial thing. It's a celestial thing. It's no longer being transformed. It's being translated. I understand my position in Jesus Christ. I am not limited to this earth. Ephesians chapter 1 and 21 says it this way, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Jesus Christ, we're seated with Him in heavenly places. You say, well, Pastor, you got it wrong. I'm seated in this chair this morning and I'm on the ground and I'm living in this world. Yeah, that's true. But you also understand experientially that's where you are. But positionally, I am not limited to the terrestrial. I am not limited to this earth. I'm not limited to what's happening around me. Because I've been raised in my redemption. When you were saved, you were raised. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 6. If you've been buried with Christ, you will also be raised with Christ. We don't want to just be buried and get religious. Build memorials, build tombs, build a symbol of what God has done. You know, it's amazing how you can go to church every Sunday and celebrate a tomb. How some religions only celebrate a death. I've got to tell you this morning, I am so thankful there's no Jesus on our cross. Why? Because He's risen. Did anybody hear that? He is risen. And because He lives, we also may live. Why do we want to preach a dead Jesus? Why do we want to live one? Your redemption raised you. And so we have a mentality of the celestial and not just the terrestrial. I have a mentality of translation, not just transformation. I want to go all the way with God and understand my covenant right with Him. If I'm going to believe that God can protect us, let's look at this a little bit further, please. Psalm 103, 1 through 4 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget. You know, I like that in the Bible. It says, and forget not. It's sort of like your mother that says, don't forget your lunch when you're on your way to school. Or your wife that says, don't forget your sermon notes when you're on the way to church. God said, I don't want you to forget. In other words, you possess something that living in the terrestrial, living in the limitation of transformation only, you might just forget. So the Bible says, forget not. Say that with me. Forget not. Say it real loud. Forget not. What does he say not to forget? He said, I don't want you to forget what? All of his benefits. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Forget not. You know, it's very frustrating to me when I forget things. Sometimes I'll leave my cell phone / computer / Twitter / whatever it is in the house. And I'm about 2 miles away and I remember what I forgot. And you know what I think most of the time? I'll just do without it today. Now maybe you're not that way, but I'm busy. I've got things to do. I've got somebody waiting on me. And for me to turn around and go get what I forgot will probably delay me. So I value what I'm doing and where I'm at more than going back to get what I forgot. Now know this, if I go back and get what I forgot, I will probably have a better day. But because I'm lazy, because I'm busy, because I don't want to mess with it, because I'm already tired and oh, who cares? Forget about it. Knowing you're going to have 32 messages waiting on you if you don't go get it. Knowing your wife's going to say, I called you 4 times. Why didn't you answer your phone? And then you got to explain everything. You got to fix everything. Why don't you just turn around and go get your phone? Everybody say with me, forget not. Look at somebody and say, turn around and go get it. Go get what? Go get your healing. Go get your deliverance. Go get your protection. Go get everything that God has supplied for you. Say it with me one more time. Forget not. Secondly, provisions for protection, not only redemption, but the Holy Spirit. Did you know that you're not only covered, but you are sealed? Sealed? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. You, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Say with me, I am sealed through the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, what does that mean? I have absolutely no idea. I would not have you to be ignorant, my brethren. Remember, we started out with 2 Corinthians 2:11. Satan takes advantage of us when we are ignorant of his devices. Here's a definition of the word sealed. Remember, we're sealed through the Holy Spirit. To put a mark on an object and to show possession, identity, and security. Recently, I am in preparation of my yearly physical. And when you go in there, they ask you for bodily fluid. They stick you to get some of it. And they don't need 1 tube or 2 tubes. Sometimes they need 3 tubes. I'm thinking, what are you going to do with all that blood? But I noticed something. When they draw it, they then seal it. Then they hand you a little cup. And I was, oh, I don't want to do that. And I had to break the seal. The seal on it was a sign of security that no one else had used it. The seal on it signified that it was reserved for just me. When I brought it back to her, she sealed it again to protect its identity. The last thing you want to do is get somebody else's, you know what? Because it would not be a true representation of who you are. See, when we're ignorant that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, we start thinking we're other than what God has made us to be. We start conforming to other people's diseases, other people's problems, and suddenly we take on an identity that's not really the God's in heaven. We take on this world's identity. Look at somebody and say, signed, sealed, delivered. In other words, he put a mark on us to show possession, identity, and security. That's why the Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Why? I'm sealed. That's why the Bible says, touch not thine anointed. Why? I'm sealed. You cannot touch this. I am branded. I bear the marks upon my own flesh. Not just my soul, upon my body, upon my soul, upon my spirit. I've been bought with a price. You have been purchased through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Psalm 105, 13 to 15. Look at this. This is tremendous. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes. I woke up this morning. I said, God, for my sake, what are you rebuking today? Are you rebuking calamity? Are you rebuking strategy to hurt me? What are you doing, God? Well, according to the psalmist, he says this, those that I've sealed, I will protect. So he's saying, I rebuke kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Now, I just have to tell you, there's a manifestation of your protection, just like it was for Israel. Let's go back in time. Here's Israel. They're out in the wilderness. There are kingdoms all around them. God's telling them to be his people exclusively. There are wild beasts in the field. There is no food in the field. There is no water out in the wilderness. And God said, go that way. Now, God, if I'm going to go that way, I'd like to see some encouragement. Have you ever asked, has God ever asked you to go somewhere or take a path that there was no encouragement on? It's a whole lot easier to dwell in a path where there's a little provision. But he was teaching them something. What they had was what you and I possess. They had a cloud by day, and they had a pillar of fire by night. Okay, great, you can't eat clouds. All right, granted, the fire can keep us warm at night, but you got to be kidding. What was so important about the cloud and about the fire? The Bible says in Exodus 13 and 21, and the Lord went before them. Say before them. He went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. Then chapter 14 and verse 19 in Exodus says this, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. Now, every experience that they had up to this point, God was leading them. He was going before them. Say, before them. But now God decided not to go before them. But they've only known God when he was going before them. Cloud was before them. Fire was before them. But now they're in a situation where God is not before them. God now moves behind them. Say, behind them. Behind them is different than before them, right? You say, that's so elementary. But I want you to get this in your mind. They had always seen God go before them. Now they were going with God behind them. You know, sometimes God has to put your trouble in check. And while he's checking your trouble, We look around and we don't see the cloud and we don't see the fire and we're thinking, God, where are you? God, can't you see? The enemy is coming down on us. Can't you see this ocean? Don't you see the mountain ranges around us? Don't you see we're about to die? No answer. So where's God in all this? Have you ever been in a place where you wondered, where in the world is God? God, I don't like this. You've been before me. You've been leading me. You've been showing me your power and your glory. And all of a sudden now I'm going through some stuff and I don't like it. I want to know, where are you? Where he is he just might be putting your trouble in check. Or he just might be halting the advance of your enemy so you can make your advance. Now, why is that important? Because if you don't understand your covenant of protection, you'll get nervous during those times and begin to revert to humanistic thinking. I'm going to do this myself. God's not here. All right, let's do it. Sort of like Saul, you know. Man, we're about to battle. And where's Samuel? He's got to offer the sacrifice, and I don't see him. All right, forget it. Bring that over here. I'll do it myself. And that's what we do. We kind of do things ourselves, don't we? Because we don't see God. And because we don't see God, we better go do something. We just can't sit here. God might just be putting your trouble in check. Let me say this. You may not see God this morning, but God sees you. How do you know that? How do you know that? Come on, Pastor. How do you know that? Because the Bible says he looked down through the cloud and saw Israel. Oh, that helps me. That helps me to understand that I can't look through the clouds, but God can. That tells me then that even though I can't see him, he sees me. And I need to remember this, that the cloud became darkness to my trouble and gave light to me. And the scripture says in verse 20 of Exodus 14 that one did not come to the other all night long. Have you ever been in a place of trouble where you knew you were about to go under or could any moment and didn't? You sit there and you think, now why didn't we not go under? I mean, we lost the job. I mean, we lost this income. I mean, this has happened. A doctor said that. I mean, we've got this circumstance. Family did that. God, why didn't we go under? Maybe God put the cloud behind you to put your trouble in check, so that your enemy could not move and advance toward you, so he could set up your advance through the impossible. What was the impossible? The parting of the Red Sea. That's why I want to encourage all of us to be introducing our mentality, our thinking, into the supernatural more, because we're too bound to the natural. We're too bound to humanism. We're too bound to secularism. We're too bound to modes of operation that the world functions in. How many know that God is greater? He is greater, amen? Therefore, we can trust him even when we don't see him. Verse 24 of Exodus 14, it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. I don't know what's pursuing you today, but I feel sorry for it if you have a covenant of protection. I mean, I really have to have mercy upon my trouble, because I wouldn't want God to look down through the cloud and through the pillar of fire and see you as my trouble. Because here's what the Bible said. God said when he saw their trouble, he troubled the trouble. Isn't that cool? God troubled the trouble. That's pretty neat. You see, God looks down through Christ at you. He looks down through the cross. The cross is your cloud. The cross is your pillar. That's why Paul wrote, if God be for, who? There's such power in understanding your covenant of God's protection. That's why Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even when you don't see me. Actually, when you don't see him, you ought to get encouraged. Because God's moving behind you and positioning you to advance. Watch what you say now. Don't you say you can't walk through water. Because that's what we begin to say. People come around and say, well, you know what? I believe in God too, but we've got to be realistic. So you really need to separate yourself from people like that. They're really a hindrance to you. Because they keep you bound. See, you're full of helium. And you're supposed to soar. And they're sort of like the sandbags around the basket in your life. God's saying, cut them loose. Cut them loose and let me be what I told you I will be. What do you do when trouble comes? When trouble comes, I stand still and I do what? See the salvation of my God. Genesis 50. You remember this story. It was Joseph's story. And he said, what, basically, the devil meant for evil, God, what, meant for good. You tried to kill me, but God said, I'm going to take that killing idea and I'm going to literally save those that were trying to take a life. Now, that's a turnaround. Because if I was God, I'd have killed them. But thank God you're not God. Some of you think you might be, but no, you're not. Okay, you don't think it, you just act like it. Look at somebody, just smile real big and say, you're not. I want you to get this, church. I want you to get this. Listen, Pharaoh counted the sea as his ally. Pharaoh strategized the mountain ranges as an ally in war against Israel. That just blows me away. He said, if we force them into this position, if we get them to take this path, then the mountains around them become part of our army. And the sea that is before them becomes their certainty of defeat. Isn't that something? See, in the natural, you'd go, well, this is impossible. That's always good to get to a shoreline of impossible. Because when you get to a shoreline of impossible, that's when God has to take over. And how many know that just a few things are impossible to God? No? Okay, just maybe one or two things are impossible to God? No? Okay, what does it say? Nothing is impossible. So those that are with God, nothing is impossible. So the key is, are you with God? So if I'm with God and trouble's coming, then even if trouble thinks these negative things happening around me is their ally, nothing is impossible when you're with God. So watch what happens. Suddenly the Bible says the waters became a wall unto them. So the ally of the enemy suddenly turncoated, aborted Pharaoh. Something caused the waters to become a wall and create a passageway. So the very thing that was going to be used and meant to bring destruction became actually constructive. I think maybe God had something to do with that. I'm not real sure, but don't you think you get a hunch? Look at somebody and say, I got a hunch. Come on, I got a hunch. I think God had something to do with that. Then what happens? The thing that was supposed to drown them. Pharaoh said, okay, fine. This is a phenomenon that I cannot explain. But it doesn't matter. Because as soon as they go into that water, they're going to drown. That wall of water can't stand there forever. You know, I've had people say that to me. Well, Pastor, you know, just because you got this breakthrough, don't think God's always going to bail you out. Okay. Do you think God's going to do that every time you're in trouble? Kind of what he said. You can't live in that celestial realm, preacher. What's wrong with you? This is a real earth. It's terra. Well, excuse me. I not only have been transformed, but I've been translated. I can't help myself. I'm a celestial being. And I just happen to believe that what the devil will mean for evil, God will turn for good. Can you get a hold of that? Can you begin to throw yourself in there and believe that God can turn this ugly mess into my favor? I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know who. All I know is God is able. I kept getting a word this morning, presentation. I want this church service to be a presentation of life. You know, in the military, when you present arms, you stand at attention and you present arms. And I was seeing that in the spirit this morning, that the Holy Ghost has called the church to attention and we're still at ease. And he cries out like a seasoned sergeant that's been all through the wars and campaigns. And he cries out with that low, gravelly voice, turn hot. And we stand there as if he said nothing. Israel was called to attention when they saw the waters wall up. And that's why I'm begging you to lift your eyes a little bit higher and not see the Dow Jones, not see the 9.7 unemployment, not see what they said against them and what that political party is doing here and what the shutoff notice is. See a little bit beyond. I want you to see the waters walling up. Because the very thing that the enemy has positioned you in to drown you will end up defending you. And not only defend you, but avenge you. For I will sing unto the Lord. He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. Something happened to Pharaoh. Pharaoh thought the pathway was for him. And this is what he said, after them. And God said, watch this, boys. Their chariots and their horses and their wielding sworded men. And Israel's like, excuse me, hurry up, baby. Let's get going. Woo, look at that wall. I ain't never seen a wall of water. Have you ever seen a wall of water? And on the other side, the walls caved in. And the waters covered Pharaoh and his military. Now, you're not going to believe this, so I probably shouldn't even tell you a discovery that was made in the Red Sea. Of course, as soon as I tell you, some of you, your intellect will say, well, that's not from then. But they literally discovered gold wheels off of Egyptian chariots in the bottom of the Red Sea. Now, what do you think they're doing there? What in the world? What are they doing in here? Do you believe that? And they found it in an era or a location topographically where all the doomsayers, all the skeptics, all the secularists are saying, there's no way, you know, walls of water in Israel. They found it on a trough. There was a trough. There was a, in the Red Sea, a trough, almost like a bridge underwater. It's fascinating. You should look it up and watch the video. They found a trough, and on the trough, or around the trough, were the discoveries of the golden Egyptian chariot wheels. Now, I don't know what kind of trouble you're in this morning, but I want to encourage you. There's a trough underneath the waters that are trying to prohibit your advance. There's a way out when you can't find a way. God has always made a way of escape. Come on, church. There is a way for you this morning. Put your trust in God. Put your faith in God. Let me leave you with these three tips. Number one, faith's secret. Moses was in the same position as everyone else, but saw what everybody else missed. I want you to start looking for what everybody else is missing. Number two, faith's success. The pathway of faith doesn't merely lead out of danger, out of debt, out of sickness, but turns danger into victory. Are you going through danger? Are you going through sickness? Are you going through trouble? God said, I'll turn it into victory, not just get you out of it. Finally, faith's strength. Faith's secret, faith's success, and now faith's strength. Nothing is impossible to faith. Why? Because nothing is impossible to God. And this morning, as you and I partake of our communion elements, please do not reduce it to a sacrament of the church. It has been reduced to an engagement of recognition, and rightly so. It has been limited to some event in the church we do once a month. May I introduce you today as Pastor Troy comes to administer communion. May I introduce to you today the blood and the bread as your covenant of protection. The death angel must pass over because God has promised to be your defense. You believe that? I believe that. Go ahead and pass out the elements. And we're going to take together the elements of the cup and of the bread. And when we do this morning, let's do it with a different approach to the table of the Lord. When trouble comes, I lift up the cup and I take the bread and I say, thank you, Father, that you have redeemed me and sealed me in the Holy Spirit. Pastor Troy is coming at this time. Thank you again for the Cornerstone Pregnancy Services. What a tremendous ministry. Don't miss an opportunity to make a change in a life. One day Jesus, when you stand before him, will say, why weren't you there October 3rd? And you'll say, I forgot. You tell him what you forgot it for. Let's go forward. Let's make a difference. Let's be people that make a way for those who can't find theirs. Amen. Don't forget Thursday night. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Bring somebody that needs touched from God. It's a covenant of healing. It's a supernatural Thursday night. Let's fill the house with faith. God bless you this morning.
Worship. Let's just worship as we receive the elements this morning. Close your eyes. We're reminded this morning, Jesus, that you are our way out of trouble. We remember this morning that we are covenant people. This meal that we are about to partake is symbolic. We remember the price that was paid to make us sons and daughters, to make us co-heirs, to make us supernatural people. We live above circumstance. We live in communion with our Savior. We walk in fellowship with the God of the universe. So as we hold this bread this morning, it reminds us that you are the bread of life, that you are the source of all life, and that life is in you. It's not in this world, that we're strangers here. We're searching for a homeland that's found in heaven. And through us, you bring heaven to earth. You bring heaven to earth through your children. So we thank you, Jesus, for the broken body, for the nails. We partake of it this morning together in Jesus' name. And as we hold this cup this morning, we're reminded of the death. We're reminded of the chalice, the cup of death that you drank from for us, so that we could be free. Reminded this morning that we are a people that have been washed clean, that no longer have to live under condemnation, but we're free. You've led us through the Red Sea, and now we're free. So with this cup this morning, we lift it and we say, thank you, Jesus, for washing me from sin. Thank you, Jesus, for taking my sin. We remember the price that you paid, and it reminds us of who we are in you. We are your children, sent to deliver the message of salvation to a sin-sick people in a world that needs you, wrapped in grace and love. Thank you, Jesus. Let's partake of the blood. Will you stand to your feet this morning, church? Let's just begin to worship Him. Altar ministers, if you'll come forward now, as the people begin to worship. If you need prayer today, church, we want to pray for you. Maybe there's trouble. Maybe you're going through trouble this morning. We want to help you get through that trouble. We want to lead you to the one who can part the trouble in your life. If you don't know Jesus today, if perhaps you've wandered in through these doors and so I'm not really sure about my relationship with Christ, the Bible says there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Him. Salvation comes only through Jesus. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is Jesus. And with every eye closed in here this morning, if you should need that prayer today, maybe you're cold and distant. Maybe you're done lying to yourself saying, I'm fine, I'm okay. Maybe today's the day of honesty and truth. And you say, I need Him. I need Jesus. I need to call upon the Lord and be saved today. If that's you, right there where you are, this is your moment with your God. It's not for us to exploit or take advantage of or to recognize. It's just for you and your God. If you should need Him this morning, like you've never needed Him before and you know you're distant from Him, why don't you just lift your head towards heaven right now and just begin to reaffirm who you are. You're His son and you're His daughter. You belong to Jesus. He paid for you with His own blood. He hung upon a cross for you this morning. If you need Him this morning, just lift your head to the heavens this morning. Just lift your eyes to the heavens today and begin to sing a love song to Jesus this morning. Begin to sing a love song to the Creator of all heaven and all earth. Begin to raise your voice to your one and only, your King and your Lord this morning. Begin to exalt Him. Begin to let Him know, I belong to you. You're the only one. You're the only way. You're the truth. You're the life. I want my life to be in you this morning. Come on, church, begin to worship Him. Begin to glorify the name that is above every name this morning. He is the only King. We exalt you, Jesus, today. We say, have your way in our life. Have your way in our hearts today. Hallelujah. If you need prayer today, if you gave your life to Jesus just then, you say, I just gave my life. I just gave my heart back to Jesus. As we close this service, the altars are open. Come forward and receive prayer. If you have questions about the ministry, our elders are at the lit tables back there. Live right, love everybody, pray hard. Let Jesus talk to you this week. Let Jesus talk through you. God bless you.